Thank you, Carrie, for the offertory and for your ever faithful giving unto the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, we're going to go to the Old Testament. This is not 2 Corinthians, but 2 Chronicles chapter 5. And I would like to read verses 11 through the close of the chapter. This is one of my favorite Old Testament passages. And I know that we have read this before and shared this maybe even in somewhat the same context as it will be shared today. But one of the things I really love about this passage is that it is so picturesque. And I love that about Scripture. It not only teaches us, but it paints pictures, if I can put it that way, for us, and invites us to be there. So this is 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. The context is David has gathered the materials for the building of the house of the Lord, the temple. The opportunity to build it has fallen to his son Solomon. It has been completed and is now being dedicated unto the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, beginning with verse 11. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified, and did not then wait by course. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph and Heman, Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests with trumpets. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and the singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voices with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever," that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this occasion, a Sunday, a day we set aside, Lord, and as the body of Christ, we gather together as you have called us to do. And as we have come together, Lord, we have come together for the fellowship that we have one with another that truly stems from our fellowship with you. So I give you praise for the church that you have established. As we break into your word, we would, Lord, we would recognize our weakness and your strength, that we would recognize that we need direction and purpose in our lives, and that you have ordered it and you have provided it through your word and by your spirit, that as we humble ourselves and become submissive unto your will and commit ourselves with all that we have to live according to your word, Lord, that you'll do a mighty work in each and every one of us. To this end, Lord, I pray as you hide your servant behind the cross, speaking through fallible lips of clay, the infallible word of God. And so I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I too, as my good friend and brother Kim had shared, am thankful. Thankful for you all. I'm thankful for Kim. He's become a good friend to me. And I'm saying all of that so that he doesn't hate me in here just a moment or two. I really do love you, brother. So I think it was September 12th. I was in Billings, and the reason I was in Billings is because my good friend Kim had a minor medical issue to take care of, and I knew that he was going, and so I said, I'll go with you, just to primarily keep him company, and if something happened to where he needed a ride or someone to drive, I would be able to do that. So we hopped in the old Merc and cruised to Billings. Everything went fine. Was glad I was there. There was some talk of a lobotomy, but they couldn't find anything. So that all worked out fine. But anyway, while we were there, we went to Costco. You know, you got to do that when you go to Billings if you're a Costco member. And this is September 12th. 73 days before Christmas, and already the place was full of Christmas stuff. I took a picture of it and sent it home to my wife. You know, if you're involved in retail business, you kind of get roped into it. You got to do it, right? Because if you don't, you lose out on everything. And so, don't you find that ever more and more and more? It's getting way out there. Well, I got to thinking about that, and I got to thinking about Thanksgiving. And I got to thinking about, we're 19 days from Thanksgiving. And wouldn't this be, if you haven't been considering giving thanks, wouldn't this be a great time to start doing it? Wouldn't this be a great time to be preparing our hearts to give thanks? You know, there's this idea then that well, I'm thankful, and I'm glad you're thankful if you are a person who is thankful. But the reality is, being thankful and giving thanks are two different things. If you've ever received a gift or something anonymously from somebody, you have no way to give thanks because you don't know from whom the gift has come. That is not true for you and I if we have believed by faith and received Jesus Christ as our own. Because James would say that every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is neither variableness, neither shadow of turning. He is faithful. He is the bringer of everything into my life. I know from whence it came. Therefore, I can give thanks, not simply being thankful. And that's my challenge for you today. It was the challenge that I brought to the people at the lodge on Thursday. When we read past there manifesting himself to his people. That's what makes it a sacred place. I'd like to believe that every time we come into this place, we've come to meet with the manifest presence of God, and you will leave here having met him and known him. I don't know why you come. You have to answer that question. The fellowship here is sweet. The friendships here are great. The instruction, I like to believe, is good. But you should be coming to meet with the manifest presence of God who makes himself known amongst his people. And then he said this, and this is the part that really struck me. He said, there's the omnipresence of God. He is everywhere, every time, every place, seeing everything. There's the manifest presence of God where he makes himself known in the place with his people. And the third one is what he called the cultivated presence of God. In other words, there's something that I can do to cultivate the very manifest presence of a holy God. You remember passages like this. James chapter 4, verse 8, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. You see that there? There's something that I can do by drawing myself closer to God that will draw him closer to me. Remember Acts chapter 17, what did Paul say? If you reach out and feel after him and happily find him, although he's standing very near to every one of us. It's coming into this experience with a living God, not out of fear or terror, because of the strength and the kindness of Jesus. I can boldly enter into his throne room, crying out, Abba, Father. Can I ask you, is that lacking in your life? Do you find that your relationship with a holy God is somewhat distant, vague, almost like a vapor at times? Is it okay to admit that it's like that sometimes? Do you want to know something? I believe God orchestrates and hides himself at times to put us into those positions so that we will actually hunger and long for him as a deer does for water. Because Jesus came and gave his life so that we might inherit eternal life. And Jesus said, eternal life is this, knowing the only true God and his Son whom he has sent. And that knowing is God desires for you to know him with an intimacy of knowledge as he knows you. Do you long for it? Or is it okay just to have a glimpse of God once in a while? I long to know him more and more and more and deeper and deeper and deeper. And this passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 gives me something that I can do. And what he gives me to do is to praise him and to give him thanks. You think about these people. You think about that's what they're doing. They're focusing, and you got to get yourself out of just what's written and just write yourself into that picture. I don't know what 120 priests had faced for the last week. I don't know what their challenges were. I don't know what their health situations were like. I don't know what any of these people were struggling with, but they came together with a oneness of mind. We are going to praise and thank our God in this temple. And what did God do in response to that? Oh, he descended in a cloud in a temple of, the Shekinah glory of God. a cultivated, manifested presence of God amongst his people. And what did they do? They had to stop everything they were doing and just stand in awe of their God. Oh, I hunger for that. And yet I find within myself a tendency to be all too like the children of Israel. God being gracious to them, providing their daily bread in miraculous ways as they wandered in disobedience. And all too often, rather than praising and giving thanks to the Lord, they murmured and complained. Life is not easy in this world. It's hard. The older I get, the weaker I get. I went to the doctor this last week because when I had a kidney stone a couple weeks ago, it led them to discover that I've got a spot on my liver. That concerned me. Now, I praise God that it's nothing, but it could have been something. And my life could spin into a lot of really hard things. But is God worthy to be praised and to be given thanks? The Apostle Paul said it, and you just can't get around it, and you can't say, well, that's just a poor interpretation of the Scripture, or that can't be what that means, because it is exactly what it means in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. And I am convinced today that if God's people would become a praising and thanksgiving people, you would experience more of that manifest, cultivated presence of God in your life. To where every day you would recognize, oh, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Oh, let it be so in the house of God. But it will never be that until he is the focus of your heart and not yourself. He cannot fill that which is full of self. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your word throughout declares your glory. Your word throughout expresses to us that Christ left the glory to come here for us, that we might be changed, radically changed from the old creature to the new, that our hearts, which were like stone towards you, might be made like flesh to you, that our spirit, which would strive against you, would be a spirit replaced that would strive with and for you. That our atheistic, secular hearts and minds would be changed into hearts and minds that focus intently upon you, upon your will, upon your character, upon your plans, upon your purposes, upon your very being. And I confess to you today, Lord, that I don't always know what you're doing, especially in the difficult times. But I do know that your will for me is to give you thanks even in the valleys of this life. And I pray, Lord, today that you would move about and in us, and that you would convict us, Lord, of seeking our own and not seeking what you would have for us, so that we could worship you in spirit and in truth, in difficulty or in pleasure. That it would not be about if we want to or don't, but rather that which is just simply right to do, to worship you. And so, Lord, I consider giving thanks that that is the ethic of the will of God for my life. And I consider, Lord, how quick I am to give you thanks for the things that I find pleasant or are going my way, so to speak. But Lord, I also see when I stumble, when I murmur, when I complain, when my eyes are turned to the storms and rather to the one who rules over the storms. And so, Lord, I don't know what today holds, but I know that you hold me in it. I know that you are faithful. I know that every good gift and every perfect gift has come down from you, and that you are the Father of lights, and that there is neither variableness, neither shadow of turning in you. Lord, I pray today that my life would recognize that and reflect that. And I pray that on behalf of these who have gathered together, that call Ebenezer their church home, or perhaps are visiting here today, that this will be a day, Lord, of impact on their lives, that you are worthy of glory and to give you thanks. And so, Lord, work on our hearts. Work on our hearts. Work on our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand if you can, and we're going to turn to number 591, a great song to be closing this service with and preparing our hearts for eventually Thanksgiving coming, but the Thanksgiving would be known in our lives now. I want to tell you just a quick little quotation. This song written in 1844, according to our hymnals, by a man named Henry Alford. I don't know much about Henry Alford. The Anglican Church in England was what he was a part of. But I want to read for you just a quotation of his written in the 1800s. He says this, "And of course, unlike the humanist that is essentially grateful to only himself, a true harvest home celebration acknowledges the provisions are of God, as did the pilgrims, as did the ancient Hebrews." To give thanks. Number 591.
Thank you.